So we just came back from Cape Town actually this afternoon. We were there for a week, and while we were there, every evening we were having a seminar about Lord Chaitanya and all his pastimes and different lessons we could learn from his pastimes. And we thought that was very appropriate because it is meant to be. You know, we got there actually on the 24th, and then we were there for the 25th, etc., up until now. So it's meant to be a time of mercy, and you know, that's the idea, at least theoretically, that Jesus was very merciful. Which, you know, I guess, sure he was, in certain regards, so that's nice. But really, Lord Chaitanya is much more merciful. And many of the great devotees of Lord Chaitanya are much more merciful. And, well, you know how we celebrate Gaur Purnima, Krishna Janmashtami, Radhashtami. You know how we celebrate all these festivals. It's very nice, and it's all very transcendental, but the way people celebrate Christmas is not so nice, at least in so many cases. I'm sure some do some nice things, but so many are not nice, and it's really just inappropriate. One devotee who is an intern doctor at A.K. Khan in Chatsworth, Unit 5. That's where I'm from. Chats. I'm a chats man. So that devotee is there as an intern doctor, going to be qualified fully just quite soon. And she was there, and she said, in the hospital, it was the biggest day of the year. It was a real festival. Real big time. They had more people smashed to pieces. More people badly hurt in fights, and more people just paralytic and so on than the rest of the year. It was the record for the year because, well, it's Christmas and it's just, you know, well, what can you say? It's meant to be a sacred occasion. But they lost it. They lost it completely. They just lost it. So Krishna consciousness, we don't want to lose it. We don't want to just try and make it popular just for the sake of numbers. But then all those numbers, at least so many of those numbers of the people we've somehow or other dragged in and got involved, they're really not qualified. and like really not qualified. And then on Gorpanina, it becomes a festival like that. You know, lots of people drunk and disorderly and stabbing each other and all that and smashing their cars. We don't want it to be like that. But that's what happens if you just try to popularize something like Krishna consciousness or Christianity. It's the same sort of idea and principle that we're all servants of God and we should all connect with God. That's meant to be the idea. Jesus was teaching something along those lines. But today it's just something else altogether. It's just completely something else altogether. So therefore, we were discussing about Lord Chaitanya, because Lord Chaitanya is just so wonderful, just so completely wonderful and glorious and merciful. And not only is Lord Chaitanya merciful, well, he is Patita Pavana. He is the deliverer of the fallen. That is his particular sort of distinguishing feature, a hallmark of Lord Chaitanya. He's so merciful. And he's merciful in the form, particularly, of giving people Krishna prema and helping people to reawaken their forgotten relationship with Krishna. That's his mercy. That's his mercy. Not like, as it says in the Bible, that there was one family and they were having a wedding. I think, anyway, the daughter or the son, there was a wedding going on, the family was having a wedding, but they had a big problem. They had no wine. Oh, Hare Krishna. They only had water. So Jesus was so merciful, he turned the water into wine. You know that story?
Yes.
Yes. We were brought up on these things. And yeah, so, you know, perfectly good water. Nice, healthy water. And they turned it into rotten grape juice. We were waiting in the airport a few hours ago. And we're waiting to pick up our bags. And they have all these screens there. And they're showing different things. But they have this whole presentation from the wine board. And these different authorities were tasting different wines and talking about the specific qualities. And, you know, in sophisticated terms. And I was thinking, listen, why don't you just tell the people it's rotten grape juice? And be honest. At least you could have fresh grape juice. That's nice. So anyway, but Lord Chaitanya, he was not into things like that. And even to this day, at least in the Catholic Church, and I don't know, maybe other branches, I'm not sure. But I think in other branches too, when they do some particular ceremony, everyone drinks wine, right? Because it's Jesus' blood.
Yes.
What's it?
Yes.
Good. Oh, on Good Friday. I think it's more often than that too. Make every day a good day. Drink enough wine and you'll feel good, sort of, for a while. So anyway, but Krishna consciousness is not like that. It really isn't. It's really not like that. And Lord Chaitanya is really not like that. Yeah, so. And, well, Lord Chaitanya is Patita Pavana. He is the deliverer of the most fallen. The deliverer of all the fallen. And his devotees, because they understand what is his mission, Lord Chaitanya's mission, what he wants, what he is trying to achieve. So the devotees, understanding these things, because they are dedicated to him, and they want to see him pleased, and they want to help him to achieve his mission. So the devotees also, they're also very merciful. Even sometimes they're more merciful than Lord Chaitanya himself, because they've just embraced his mood so deeply. So one such devotee was Vasudev Dutt. His brother was Mukunda Dutt. They're two great devotees. Mukunda Dutt, we're actually discussing him last night in Cape Town. Mukunda Dutt, he was a great singer, kirtan singer, really outstanding. Who is our best kirtan singer in ISKCON, Phoenix? Rupa Nuga.
Haribol.
Prabhano sings nicely too. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sure there's a few. But Rupa Nuga, he's very nice. Really nice. So, but Mukunda Dutt could even sing nicer than Rupa Nuga. Seriously. In fact, Mukunda Dutt could sing so nice that often rocks would melt. Did rocks ever melt when Rupa Nuga Prabhu sang? Not yet, but we're working on it. His Holiness Parthasarathy Goswami Maharaja Ki. His Holiness Parthasarathy Maharaja Ki. His Holiness Parthasarathy Maharaj Ki. His Holiness Parthasarathy Maharaj King. Yes, you should all stand up. And then as he's coming forward, well, you should glorify him and offer your most humble obeisances at his lotus feet. And then you should all, every single last one of you, from the youngest to the oldest, from the smallest to the biggest, take the dust from his lotus feet right now. Did you get some dust? Hey, come on, get some dust. What are you doing? You gotta get serious. This is Krishna consciousness.
Kaya kudhe, kaya kudhe, kaya kudhe.
Come on, sing.
This is fake. This is genuine. Have you got it? I'm a genuine fake.
This is real. So this side you must go.
See, humility is characteristic of a great devotee. Okay, so look, here we are. It's my righteous turn to give class. I know I'm in the middle of something, but I'll carry on when he finishes. Right? Okay. Okay, so we were talking about Vasudevda. Well, we were talking about Christmas. It's meant to be a time of mercy and, like that, spirituality. But it's not so much. Of course, to some degree, there's some people, they go to the churches and places and they pray and do some glorification. And it's basically nice. But it's not. But then there are many other things that go on, as we mentioned. But Lord Chaitanya, he is Patitapavan, he's the deliverer of the fallen. And not just in the form of turning water into wine, or, you know, what? Helping the lame to walk. So they call the sick, you know, all that, people like that. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, for a sinful person, it's better that they're sick, like really seriously sick, because then they can't do so much sinful activity. So, yeah, that's what he says. Better that they're sick. So, Lord Chaitanya, his mission is to deliver the fallen, and the devotees make his mission their mission, their life and soul, because they are devoted to him and they want to do whatever is going to really please him. So the devotees are extremely merciful, and we were talking about Vasudeva Dutt, and his brother was Mukunda Dutt, who was a great singer. And Mukunda Dutt, sometimes when he'd sing, rocks would melt. But we were mentioning, just as Maharaj walked in, that so far no rocks have melted when Rupa Nuga Prabhu has sung. But you haven't been there when Parthasarathi Maharaj has sung really seriously. Well, we won't talk about it, but anything can happen. So the Kunda Dutt, he was very amazing.
And Vasudevdat was extremely amazing. They're very intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya. And it's described in some detail in Chaitanya Charitamrita how Vasudevdat, well, Lord Chaitanya was with a group of devotees and he was glorifying these different devotees. And then, well, then actually what happened was Vasudevdat approached Lord Chaitanya and Vasudevdat said, "You know, my Lord, I've had a desire for a long time and I want to express it to you and hear what you think. My desire is, I want that Lord Krishna will let me take all the sinful reactions of all the living entities in the universe and maybe the whole material creation, all of them, the humans, the animals, the insects, and just all of them. Let me take all those reactions on my head and I will suffer them. And let all these living entities go back to Godhead." Because Vasudevdat said, "When I see these living entities and I see how they're suffering, it's too much. It's just too much. I can't take it. So I'm thinking, I would like it if Lord Krishna would do that." And he's like asking Lord Chaitanya, what does he think? And Lord Chaitanya said, "Well, Lord Krishna is very merciful to his devotees. So if you want everyone, I mean all living entities, liberated, then because you are such a dear, dear devotee of Lord Krishna, if that's what you want, he will fulfill your desire. But he doesn't like to see his devotees suffer, so you won't have to take all the reactions." Yes, so there's some discussion there. It's very nice. And in one purport, Srila Prabhupada, if I remember correctly, refers to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta commenting on this situation and the mood of Vasudevdat. And Prabhupada says, as I say, I think referring to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, that in this way, if we understand what are the implications of this desire of Vasudevdat, what it really means. Plus, he also mentions Haridas Thakur, who is another extremely merciful devotee of Lord Chaitanya. Yes, well, we should think about it. What does it mean? That, well, what he says is, Vasudevdat and Haridas Thakur, they are hundreds and millions of times more merciful than Jesus Christ. Now, of course, you know, some people, if they heard us say that, there would be a Christian jihad. They would declare a jihad on us, or something like that. But really, when you think about it, it's not just some, you know, like, extremely dramatic statement. Because Jesus, what he said, basically, was that, "If you accept me, I will deliver you." something along those lines. Not exactly that if you surrender unto me, Sarvadharmam Parijaja, Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. Not if you really just surrender, because surrender means we have to dedicate ourselves absolutely and just give up. Surrender means you give up anything else, but simply dedicate yourself, your life, your activities, your thoughts, every breath, to the service of the person you surrender to. So, this is apparently what Jesus said, that, you know, you accept me, I'll save you. But Vasudeva, think about it. If people accepted him, he would deliver them. But he would also deliver people who did not accept him. He would deliver people who were against him. He would deliver people who never heard about him. All living entities. And that's just the human beings. You know, he'd deliver all living beings on all the planets, including the man on the moon. Back to Godhead. And all the animals, and all the fish, and all the trees and plants, and all the insects, the 8,400,000 species of life, the top one, number one species is Lord Brahma. And he is the only member of that species. Then what we understand, at least from Brahma Samhita, it appears that the 8,400,000th, the last species, that's called Indragopa germ, which appears to be one of these sub-microscopic unicellular little, tiny little things, but it's a living entity. And Vasudev Dutt, he was ready to take all the karma, even of all the Indragopa germs and the trees and the plants and the birds and the beasts and the humans, and just everybody. I mean, just every living entity. It's incredible, isn't it? It's just another level. It's just another level of being merciful and helping to deliver the fallen souls. It's just another level. And therefore, Prabhupada makes that statement, or quotes, refers to Bhaktisiddhanta perhaps, that Vasudeva Dutt and Haridas Thakur, they are hundreds and millions of times more merciful even than Jesus. You know, we're not at all trying to criticize, not in the slightest, but it's the same principle of being merciful and trying to deliver the fallen, but just taken onto another level. And this is what you find with Lord Chaitanya and his devotees. This is what you find, that all these concepts of mercy, compassion, tolerance, patience, all these very fine and divine personal qualities, they're there and they display them in the most outstanding ways. So we're also followers, devotees of Lord Chaitanya. followers of Lord Chaitanya. And we should try and do the same thing. And the more we do it, the more we do it, the more, like say, distribute Prabhupada's books, that's really important. And in various other ways, distribute Krishna consciousness, then the more people are going to start to understand these things. And Prabhupada said that if 1% of the population becomes pure devotees, the whole world will change completely. So, yes. So now, so those are just some thoughts. Now we will hand over to His Holiness Parthasarathy Das Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai.
Om Ajnatamandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshmatamina Tazmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Namobisham Stapatamina Bhutale Swayam Bhagadamayam Tadanti Sambhadantikam Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Atapatakamano Shri Guru Vaishnavancha Shri Rupam Sagarajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvaitam Marijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishavitam Cha He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagadpate Gopisha Gopikanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kancha Gaurange Radhe Vrindavane Kale Rishabhana Sudhadevi Rami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyemcha Patita Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Guru Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
I was instructed to speak something about Srila Prabhupada. So I bought this book, Prabhupada Nectar, and just happened to open it. So we'll read from this in a minute. But as His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj was speaking about Vasudev Dutt, I was just reading about that actually same section just the other day. And what Maharaj was saying was very correct and nice. It is actually, Prabhupada quotes directly Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and it's quite a famous quote, where Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says very clearly, Haridas Thakur, Vasudev Dutt, are millions of times more merciful. Literally, millions of times more merciful than Jesus Christ. And he includes the name Haridas Thakur. And then he explains there's two reasons. Maharaj touched on the one reason. What was the one reason? That Jesus Christ delivered those that surrendered to him, his disciples, doubting Thomas, Judas Iscariot, I think others, Paul, Simon. But what about those that didn't surrender to him? So Maharaj is giving that emphasis. So many that don't surrender, but Vasudev Dad is praying to Lord Chaitanya, you please put the sinful reaction, Sakala Brahmanda Jivera, it's the Bengali, all the jivas, not only in this planet, but all the jivas in this Brahmanda. What's a Brahmanda? Brahmanda is the creation of Brahma. And there are millions and millions of Brahmandas. So Brahmanda is a universe. Sakala Brahmanda. Sakala Jivera Brahmanda. All the jivas. So in that sense, Vasudev Dad is superior. But another point, that it is well known, Jesus is saying, I will deliver you. But deliver you from what? Your past sinful reactions. And Haridas Thakur wanted to finish their material existence and give them love of God. So Vasudev Dad wanted to give the jivas far more. He wasn't just interested in washing away their karma. You know, that's called mukti, general liberation, mukti. No, he wanted to give them the supreme gift, prema paramaha, love of God. So these two reasons, Vasudev Dad is superior. And therefore Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta said millions of times. And there'll come a time in the future, just like Jesus is recognized by so many people all over the world. His name is used often in vain. Something bad happens, oh Jesus Christ, oh Jesus. You know. But there'll come a time in the future, due to the preaching of the Prabhupada's followers, that Vasudev Dad will be recognized on the same level as Jesus in the future. It has taken 2,000 years for Christianity to establish itself to this point. And when Jesus was himself present, Christianity wasn't established. It was a very minority sect. It wasn't, he wasn't well known at all in his own life. It was only 200 or 300 years later that King Constantine, for political reasons, started establishing a religion. But he first changed it around to a religion that he liked. And prior to that, Christians believed in an afterlife. But he didn't accept that. So he took out various sections of the Bible. So then Christianity became well known. But it has taken 2,000 years for Christianity to reach this stage. Whereas in Srila Prabhupada's own life, he was recognized as a great scholar and a great devotee. In 1976, in the Cyclopedia Britannica, Book of the Year, People of the Year, Srila Prabhupada is documented. He is mentioned in the Cyclopedia Britannica, 1976. And therein it says, this A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami has astounded the academic world by translating so many books into so many languages. So at that time, Prabhupada was still alive. So now it is almost some 35 years since he passed away. So you can imagine in 50 years' time, 100 years' time, 1,000 years' time, in 2,000 years' time, Krishna consciousness will become a great force. So when Vasudev Dad told this to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I want to accept all the sinful reactions of all the living entities on my head. How did Lord Chaitanya react? Anyone know? I mean, what was Lord Chaitanya's reaction? Lord Chaitanya started to cry. And Lord Chaitanya said, "There is no one like you. Sakshat Prahlad Maharaj. You are directly Prahlad." Of course, he's not Prahlad. He's actually a servant in Brajalila. Madhukanta, Madhubrata. Vasudeva is Madhubrata. He's in Vrindavan Leela. But as a passing sentiment, Lord Chaitanya said, "You are so merciful. You are like the Prahlad, Sakshat Prahlad." It's there in the translation. So he started to cry. Lord Chaitanya, God himself, actually started to weep. It is not just that the devotees weep, but Lord Chaitanya also is weeping to see the mercy, this compassion of Vasudeva Dad. What is the definition of compassion? So many times I've asked. Rupa Goswami gives a very clear definition of compassion. What is that? One cannot bear to see the suffering of others. It's very simple. So this Vasudeva Dad couldn't bear to see the suffering. So Lord Chaitanya is weeping. And then Lord Chaitanya, he says, "Yes, it's very nice you've said this. It's a favorite section of mine in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's why I know it so well." I just happen to know it very well. I mean, there's 10 verses actually. It's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So then Lord Chaitanya says, "This is very nice you've said this. I will take all the suffering." But then he says, "Do you think Krishna is incapable? And you think he doesn't have any power? He himself can absorb all the sinful reaction. There is no need for you to suffer on their behalf. There's no need for you to suffer on their behalf. Krishna, he is not incapable. He is not. He does not lack bala, power. He will accept." And then Lord Chaitanya said, "Based on your desire, all the living entities in this universe will be liberated." And that's not partial liberation, that's full liberation. And then Lord Chaitanya said, "And I say three times, my body is meant for Vasudeva Dat. My body is meant for Vasudeva Dat. My body is simply meant for Vasudeva Dat." So simply based on that one desire, all living entities in this universe can be liberated. So then we see this Srila Prabhupada. He also had that desire? What do you think? He had that desire?
Yes.
He's in Vrindavan, he's chanting. He wants to take Vrindavan to the whole world. He has that desire. So he's like Vasudeva Dat. In many instances we can say that he was empowered. He had that same mood as Vasudeva Dat. And then he came to America. One man, at the fag end of his life, and he came to preach Krishna consciousness. No money. If we say 40 rupees is money, it's, what is it, a few hours spending money in New York, Prabhupada said. No money, no followers, no support, no mission. His god brothers were not assisting him. Nothing. Didn't know whether to turn right or left when he came off the ship. Prabhupada definitely embodies the mood of Vasudeva Dad, no doubt. So we could also say, we could take it a stage further, and we could say, if Vasudeva Dad was millions of times more merciful than, sometimes it said merciful, sometimes it said more powerful, because it's translated from Bengali. But we could also say Prabhupada is millions of times more merciful, could we not?
Yes.
Than even Jesus himself. And as Maharaj is saying, of course, we respect all great devotees of the Lord. Muhammad, Jesus, you know, even the Pope Francis, Pope Benedict XVI. Yeah, we respect any, you know, religious person. So we're not in any way trying to minimize or criticize. But the truth has to be said. So Prabhupada preached. And then, of course, we know he came to South Africa in 1975. Of course, he didn't come to Phoenix. because at that time Phoenix wasn't. Phoenix was simply what?
Sugarcane.
I remember going to Inanda, that's right, Inanda. The first program I ever did, 1974, we went to our 10th program, funnily enough, the 10th program, and in Inanda. And there on the altar was a deity of Lord Chaitanya. It was amazing, a deity of Lord Chaitanya, small deity of Lord Chaitanya, which is now in Phoenix, and I'm trying to get hold of it. It's in Phoenix. What happened actually is the gentleman who had the deity, he was a type of priest, or he was interested in God consciousness. And he was told me he was walking in town, this is early 1970s, he saw what looked like to be a newspaper in Prince Edward Street, somewhere like that, Victoria Street. And he picked up this newspaper, it was a religious newspaper, and it was actually a Gaudiya Mat newspaper. And there was an advert, you know, if you're interested, then write to Gaudiya, the Gaudiya Mission, the Gaudiya Mat in Bengal, etc. So he wrote, and there was some correspondence, and some or other, he obtained a deity of Lord Chaitanya, a small brass deity of Lord Chaitanya. So the first program we ever did in the whole of KwaZulu-Natal in 1974, it would have been in September, was in Inanda. It was in a tent, and it was a deity of Lord Chaitanya. So I remember going there the next day and seeing this person. I think he was doing some printing or something, and looking from Inanda towards the sea, which is now where Phoenix exists. And all I could see was green sugarcane fields. Yes. So when Srila Prabhupada came, of course, Phoenix wasn't, but Chatsworth was. And Prabhupada did many programs there and enjoyed his stay here. And he said that if we had organized more programs for him, he would have stayed longer. It's very nice. So Srila Prabhupada set his foot in this tip of this dark continent. Only the ones. For around about 3 weeks. And now, of course, all of you are the fruit of his desire. Because he had that desire to liberate everyone in South Africa, to preach. So, based on that desire, things are going forward. The Rath Yatra, the Phoenix Temple, Chatsworth Temple, other programs we're doing. And of course we want to preach Krishna consciousness is not an ethnic Hindu organization. Although the Hindu people can accept more easily perhaps Krishna consciousness, but we want to preach to the African bodied people and the European bodied people and to the colored bodied people and to the Afrikaners, the African bodied people. So we're attempting to do this, opening it up a little. So if you can assist us, this is very wonderful. Help us in this preaching mood, Prabhupada's mission. As Maharaj was talking about book distribution, Prabhupada himself did book distribution. He also went on the streets and tried to distribute books, just like many of you distribute books in the Phoenix area. One time Prabhupada was giving out BTGs in Delhi. It was so hot that he fainted. But he continued trying as best he could. So we want to please Srila Prabhupada. We want to get in his mood. So to preach Rath Yatra festivals, to try to encourage other people is very wonderful. So I opened this book, and funnily enough, it's talking about a slightly controversial subject. Talking about marriage and Krishna consciousness, and about whether you can divorce or not. So anyhow, it's a little drops of nectar. So I'll read this. Srila Prabhupada repeatedly instructed us that in Krishna conscious marriage there is no divorce. No divorce. This was based on the authority of Vedic injunctions, and he intended his own disciples to strictly follow the rule. One time, however, Prabhupada received a written request by a disciple for permission to divorce his wife and marry another. In his reply, Prabhupada somewhat reluctantly gave his permission. Srila Prabhupada's servant at that time was called Shruti Kirti Prabhu. He was bewildered by Prabhupada's action in this case, and he waited for an opportunity to inquire. Srila Prabhupada can do anything he wants, thought Shruti Kirti, but I can't understand why he would do this. Finally, in the evening, while massaging Prabhupada in his bed, Shruti Kirti Prabhu asked, "Srila Prabhupada, this devotee who is asking about the divorce, who is asking about this? Sorry," said Srila Prabhupada, "this devotee who is asking about the divorce." Srila Prabhupada replied that he had told him he could do it. Shruti Kirti said, "Yes, I know, but I was wondering, you always say that divorce is against the Vedic society. There can never be any divorce." Prabhupada replied that in your society, these things are accepted. But in Western societies, said Shruti Kirti, they also accept meat eating and intoxication. So why aren't any of these things allowed? Prabhupada then replied that whether he gave permission or not, the disciple in question was going to get a divorce. So in other words, he would have gone ahead and done it anyhow. And Prabhupada knew that. Prabhupada explained that if he had told his disciple no, and the disciple had gone ahead and done it anyway, the offense would be greater. In Guru Vagya, third offense, disobey the instructions of the Guru. So if Prabhupada said, no, you can't marry, you can't get a divorce, and you can't marry again, and the devotee had gone ahead and done it, would have been direct contradiction to what Prabhupada said. So Prabhupada sort of will hint, no, it is not good, if possible, stay married. But he wanted to save the disciple from Guru Avagya. Prabhupada said that he had given permission since he knew the devotee was going to do it anyway. And this way the offense was not so great. Shruti Kirti immediately appreciated what Prabhupada knew to do in every individual case for the benefit of his disciples. In 1975, Prabhupada was in Mexico, and someone asked the question, what is the greatest offense in chanting? Now there are 10 offenses. You know the 10 offenses? And generally, we always refer to the first offense as being the worst. The Padmapurana says, param aparada, to offend devotees of the Lord, the first offense. So generally we understand that. Also it is said the seventh offense is sometimes the greatest offense, to commit sinful acts on the strength of the holy name. But in this particular instance, in Mexico in 1975, described in Prabhupada Lila by Satsuru Maharaj, Prabhupada gave the answer, the third offense, Guru Avagya, is the worst offense. And then he gave the example. A disciple comes and he promises to obey the instructions of the Guru in front of Krishna, in front of the Guru, in front of the fire. And then he disobeys. And then Prabhupada said, he is not even a gentleman. And then Prabhupada said, this is common sense. Not even a gentleman. So in this particular instance, Guru Avagya. Guru Avagya means to disobey instructions of Guru. So one should be very careful to follow instructions of Guru. We all have our respective gurus. Maybe Diksha, but maybe also be Siksha Guru. If you're smart and intelligent, you'll also be trying to get mercy from others. So this means Siksha relationship. As Prabhupada said, the word Guru is plural. And then he said, Diksha Guru and Siksha Guru are equal and identical manifestations of Krishna's mercy. So, but once you get the instruction, don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. Take it seriously. You may not be able to fulfill the Guru's instruction right now, as Prabhupada couldn't preach when he was married in 1922. He couldn't immediately preach, but he tried to preach and he molded his life in that direction, creating BTG and then going to America. So he couldn't immediately fulfill, but later he did. So you take the instructions of Guru, Siksha Guru and Diksha Guru, very seriously. Very seriously indeed. So here's another one, which just happens to be on polygamy. It's a letter on polygamy in ISKCON. So this is a letter in 1976. Prabhupada writes, "This incident with one of our temple presidents is not good. He cannot even maintain one wife. Just see how lusty he is. Now he dares to take another. Anyway, he cannot live in the temple. If he wants two wives, he must live outside. He should maintain his family by working and giving 50% to the temple. He may not live off temple funds. Temple president is generally meant for sannyasi, but a grihastha may be if he is restrained. It is not good if he remains as president." So here it mentions one should maintain his family by working and giving 50% to the temple. So Prabhupada had a very high standard. 50%. There was a disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. His name was Sudhaka. Professor Sanyo. Sudhaka. In Orissa. And he was paid 800 rupees a month, which in those days was a lot of money. Sudhaka, Professor Sanyal, very famous disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta. He gave all the money to Bhaktisiddhanta. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta sent him back 200 rupees, which he lived with his wife and children. Lived in Katak, in Orissa. So he was a very great disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. So anyhow, 50% if you can manage. If you can't manage 50%, 40%, 30%, 20%, 10%, at least something. But of course, even more important than giving financial support is to give your physical support, to go on book distribution, to help arrange festivals, to help maintain a temple, Govinda's restaurant, etc. Many people may give money. There are people, pious people, that give some money. But they don't give their lives. They don't give their intelligence. They won't give their body. They'll just give some donation because it's part of Hindu culture or Vedic Dharma. So we're requesting all of you, our congregation, to get more serious in Krishna consciousness and to follow the footsteps of great devotees like His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, who gave his whole life. His Holiness Bhakti Churu Maharaj, who gave his whole life. Giran Swami. These are great examples for us to see. They gave their whole lives from the age of what? 20? How old was Maharaj?
21.
He still looks young. And I think in the spiritual world, I suspect he's even younger. So I was also 20. And when I joined, I had the good fortune to be under the shelter of Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj. They made him the temple commander. So he was like, big deal. Big deal. He was temple commander. This is in 1973. I think you joined in January. And then I joined later. You see, he always beats me. I joined more in March, just 1 week after Gopalim. And they made Maharaj, at one point you were temple commander in Berry Place. And I would see him enthusiastically cleaning and doing service. Temple commander really meant you were like a door rug, and people would just wipe their feet on you, and you had to do everything. You actually had to do everything. So Maharaj was very enthusiastic in doing so many things. And then I remember clearly we went on book distribution a few times together. I seem to remember you driving. Yeah, I didn't have a license for those. I was completely unlicensed. And you were licensed, and you would drive, and I think we went to a few Coventry or a few places around. And then some or other, I got initiated before you, which was quite Well, that's because when you were going to Bhaktivedanta Manor, there was some...
That's obvious why it was, isn't it? It's just Krishna here. This is the right thing. He's more qualified. So our driver got lost driving out to Bhaktivedanta Manor.
So yes, some or other I got initiated, I think 1 or 2 months before you. And then of course 1974 I came to South Africa. I remember I was poached, you know, headhunting. So I was out distributing books. At that time we were going into records with Hamsaduta Prabhu. And I was asked by Janaka Raj, would you like to come to South Africa? So I didn't say yes, I didn't say no. You know, I thought whatever happens is whatever happens. And then they wanted English devotees with English passports, because South Africa is more aligned to England than America. And previously, Shruti Prabhu and Rishi Kumar Swami and Pustha Krishna Swami were all American. So the South African government was a little bit more, they weren't so happy with American visas, American passports. The same thing happened in India. It was easier for English people with English passports. So I was asked, would you like to go to South Africa? And I really had no idea where it was. Obviously somewhere in Africa. And I didn't know anything about apartheid. And I really thought it would sort of be like trees and jungle and thatched cottages. I really thought it would be like that. So somewhere or other I came here in May with Janaka Raj, and I remember on the same aircraft was George Best. He was a Manchester United football player, very famous, and I saw him sitting in the front. I guess that was first class in those days, wasn't it? They didn't really have first class and business class in those days. So I saw him, I walked past him, and I was wearing a dhoti and kurta and everything. And then we landed in Johannesburg, and on the way in, as the aircraft was approaching, I looked out of the window and I saw this big city, and someone behind me said, yes, Johannesburg, you know, 4 million people, one of the biggest cities in Africa. And I was thinking, you know, jungle, trees, you know, river, elephants, and Tarzan. Really, I was honestly thinking, I was a Tarzan fan. I read all the Tarzan books. Edgar Burroughs Rice. Yes, and I really thought it was Tarzan. But it wasn't. And it was winter when we came. It was a little cold. It was May, it was a little cold. And we landed in the airport, and then we caught a train. Sorry, we caught a bus or a taxi, I can't quite remember. And we went into, we bought tickets, train tickets to go to Cape Town, because that's where the temple was. We were renting a house in Cape Town. So the train left at night. So the two of us, me and Janaka Raj, and we didn't know what to do. So we went to Johannesburg Central Library, which is still a library, wearing dhoti and kurta, beads and shaved head. We walked into the library, and we were just sort of wasting time till the evening. And in the library section, there was a old cart, old carriage that they used to pull with horses. And it was an antique, it was like 100 years old. You know, the type of thing the Queen goes in, Queen Elizabeth, and then she waves to everyone. So it was an old carriage, and it was cordoned off, and there were signs everywhere saying, do not touch, do not touch, do not touch. So Janaka Raj, my godbrother, he's a very nice devotee, he climbed over the wire, he climbed over the cords, and he went right into the carriage, and he sat in the carriage, and then he started loudly chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And as he was moving his body back and forth, the carriage started to move back and forth. Because it wasn't a big carriage, you know? And it started to move back and forth. So the library attendants, they couldn't believe this. You know, this bald-looking person with beans and a tuft of hair. They'd never seen Hare Krishna before. So they got the library manager, who was a big Afrikaans man. And you know what they were like in those days, you know, big Afrikaners. And he came storming in, and he grabbed Janaka Raj and pulled him out of the carriage and then hauled him out to the hallway and then threw him down the steps. And I'm looking at everything. I'm looking, what do I do now? Do I protect him? Do I defend him? Do I do some of the judo that I learned when I was a young kid? What do I do now? What do I do? So I didn't do anything because he was a big guy. And Janaka Raj fell down the steps of the Johannesburg Library. And this is my first interaction, you know, with the public in Johannesburg. My first experience. And then we went down to Cape Town. And we started to preach and stayed there perhaps 2 months. And then came here to do it. And that's when we did the program in London. And then gradually more devotees came, and then Bhakti Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when did you come? I'd like to. When did you come?
January 1.
Do you like to say something about your thoughts on those days and what you came into?
Yes. Yes. I arrived in January 1980. I was also expecting to see, you know, a more sort of rural type of environment. And in fact, Tulsi Das, the regional secretary in those days, he told me that sometimes there are lions on the main street. So I thought, and I also landed in Johannesburg, and you know, it was sort of a disappointment, really. It's this grungy looking city. And another thing that was disappointing was I thought I was coming to Africa. I thought it was going to be nice and warm. But Johannesburg was quite cool. And our center at the time in Johannesburg was in sort of Lower Yeovil. You might not be familiar with Johannesburg so much, but it's near the center, quite close. And we had this house on a fair amount of ground, although it was all a bit run down. And it had a swimming pool, but the swimming pool was empty. And so it stayed overnight, Next morning we got up, and after the morning program, went out to put on my shoes and go off to somewhere, to my room, and my shoes were not there. In fact, nobody's shoes were there. And everyone was saying, where's our shoes? And the temple president at the time, his name was Shruta Dave Prabhu. He was a very sort of, you know, what to say. He had a bit of a short fuse, and he didn't like it if shoes were just lying there in front of the front door. He threw all the shoes in the swimming pool. That was my welcome to South Africa. But it was nice. And we did a program a couple of days later, really soon after, with the, what you call them, Radha Swamis. And it was mainly white people, and they were very interested. And just a few days ago, it was actually Friday last week, we did a program in a town, a village called Napier. You may well not have heard of it because it's not one of these big, well-known places. It's just out from Cape Town, a couple of hundred kilometers, kind of on the way to, what you call it, Mossel Bay. Yeah, so we did this program, and you may remember, some of you might remember, living in Radharadnath Temple was Bhaktin Jina. Some of you might remember her. She's an older woman. She's about in her early 60s now, Indian lady. And she was staying there in Radharadnath for some period of time. Anyway, she's moved to Napier, and she organized this program for us. And it was all European people. There's like 30 or 40 of these elderly people, like my age. You know what happened to me just a few months ago? I had some blood tests done in Port Elizabeth, and they gave me a 25% discount for being an old age citizen. Seriously. First time. It won't be the last time.
This, I would like to confirm that. Some years ago, now this is 3-4 years ago now, I would go to the Pinetown swimming pool. And I went there to pay my money with my hat, my sunglasses. And I'm giving my money, and the man looks at me. Actually, it's a woman. She looks at me. She says, oh, old age pension is free. Now, that was 5 years ago. And that's happened to me at least 3 or 4 times at the swimming pool. So now I play that card all the time. I get Sujama to go and say, hey, my old father, grandfather's coming in, and he's old age pensioner, it's all right. So he sets the scene, and then I appear, and I just go in free.
He looks like a young boy, doesn't he? Not one wrinkle. So anyway, we did this program in Napier, and there are all these old people, you know, the youngest person must have been 45, and there are some people in their 70s. But they really liked it. Nobody left. They were completely silent. There was no chit-chat going on in the background. It was amazing. And it really showed me, at least it seemed to me, that Krishna consciousness has really made an impact in South Africa. And it had its beginnings with His Holiness Parthasarathy Maharaj. You see, he really laid the foundation, which we're now building on, and by Krishna's grace it's being built on. This movement, well, as Maharaj was saying, it's developed so much. You know, a few years, what, 35 years after Jesus passed away, his movement, I don't know what it was actually, but it wasn't much. But look at this. And this is potency of Srila Prabhupada. Very amazing, Prabhupada's potency. Anyway, let me just hand back to Maharaj. Wind up. Wind it up to go.
If anyone has any questions, perhaps they'd like to ask them any questions or even comments.
There's a gentleman here. He has a question.
It's the same question as me. Just on Sunday. Thanks, Maharaj, for bringing the talk about Jesus. Just on Sunday, we had a discussion. Whether Jesus gives bhakti or not, and I kind of feel like, yeah, it's clear from what you're saying that he just gives liberation and not bhakti. And thank you so much. Next, coming to the new year, very grateful. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj wants you to ask some questions, devotees.
Prabhupada said, sign of intelligence. But as I always say in Ukraine, Vapros means question.
Vapros, yes.
Oh, resuming vapros.
Resuming vapros.
Intelligent questions. Resuming vapros.
The thing is, they already know everything. So they may not have so many questions.
Came to South Africa, there were many challenges with spreading Krishna consciousness. Did you at any time feel that you would like to run away from all these challenges in terms of preaching?
Did everyone hear a question? That when we first came here to South Africa, there were many challenges. So the question is, did we at any time feel despondent and even think about leaving? Well, for myself, I can remember clearly there was one occasion when I felt a little despondent. At that time, there were only 4 devotees in the entire country. Jagat Guru Maharaj. This is not our Jagat. Jagat Guru Narasimha Maharaj, but not our African body. Previous one. Janaka Raj, myself, and Diranga. And there were 4 of us in the temple in Johannesburg. and Jagat Guru Maharaj went traveling, which left two of us. So it's a little difficult, two of you. That's when I learned how to play the harmonium. I just taught myself. I also taught myself how to drive. Remember the very vehicles, the yellow VW. But I, at that time, I got a newsletter. They used to do the Sankirtan newsletters. And Vishnu John Swami's thing was really taking off, that whole mood. And I began to think maybe I'm missing out on something. And some thoughts came. Maybe I should leave. But I thought, Krishna, by some higher divine arrangement, I'd come here. And I thought, well, rather let me stay here. So I just stayed. So that period maybe lasted for 3 or 4 days. So in the last 40 years, 4 decades, only that period of 3 or 4 days was some thought that maybe I should leave. Otherwise, actually the advanced devotee, of course I'm not advanced, but the advanced devotee sees impediments and difficulties as an opportunity to make advancement. And they don't see them actually as impediments at all. They see them as challenges, and they become enlivened with those challenges. And they become actually more spiritually enlivened. So they don't see it as we, as a lower class devotee would see it, as an impediment. They don't see it like that at all. You know, in Vrindavan, when the gopis, when they hear the sound of Krishna's flute, then they go to meet Krishna. But there is some impediment that it simply increases their thoughts of Krishna. That separation increases their thoughts of Krishna. So the apparent impediment actually acts as an impetus and stimulates their love of God. In the material world, for a lower class devotee in the practice of sadhana bhakti, when he or she is confronted with some problem, then maybe they become despondent. But that's the lower class devotee. The more advanced devotee sees that obstacle and as an impetus, and it increases their love of Krishna and their attachment to Guru and Gauranga. It's completely the opposite. Of course, one has to be the advanced devotee to see this, and I wasn't in those days, and so there was some mental disturbance, but I continued, I persevered, and decided not to leave. I thought, by higher arrangement, I had come here to South Africa, so let me stay here. And I always felt like that, by higher arrangement. So I saw many other devotees come and go. But Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj came and never left. But that's about it. Ramanuja came and left and came and left and came. And now he's rightly situated. I always thought he should be here in South Africa. Many people came and went, came and went and came. Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj came and stayed. Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
I think that we all know. All across the board. That Partha Sarathi Maharaj is the foundation. We're all resting on him. On the other hand, we're all under his shelter. Isn't it? I've never felt like leaving South Africa, I don't think, not really. But when I first came, I had a few interesting experiences which I found interesting. The devotees took me to meet every day for some number of days or every couple of days. We'd go out to visit someone for prasadam. And so, okay, there we are now. And they bring in the prasadam. And there's this pot. And all there is, all you can see is oil. or I should say, hoyo. And, you know, then in goes the spoon, out comes some beans. So, okay, you know, beans, okay, fine. So I had beans the first day. Next day, out comes a pot with hoyo on the top. And, gee, what is this now? Is it again? And sure enough, it was beans. And then a third time, out comes the pot with the hoyo. Red-colored hoyo, kind of red-brown. And after about 10 times, I thought, do these people eat anything else? It was really quite something. Then another experience I had at Cato Ridge. I was staying at Cato Ridge. We had a, what do you call it? One of these phones you have to, that you can't even dial. You got to use this sort of grinder thing, you know, and then you get through to the operator. So your operator put a call through. I picked up the phone. Said, Sean from Ottawa is on the phone. I thought, what? Sean, an Irishman? Because Sean is a classic Irish name. Sean from Ottawa in Canada is phoning us here. What's going on? But it was a young Indian devotee named Sean. That was my first experience of the use of non-Indian names. And Ottawa, I found out, is not in Canada. That's an expansion from the Ottawa here. And then a couple of days later I met this man and he said, yeah, my name is Krishna Gopal, well, Govinda, but I heard it as Govinda. Krishna Gopal Govinda, that's my name. And I thought, wow, that's a nice name. I said, but everyone calls me Fred. What an anti-climax. So I had to adjust to a few things. But I never felt like leaving because, well, for many reasons. But the main, you know, in one sense, the main reason is that I just took it and I take it to be my service to Prabhupada. This is what Prabhupada wants me to do and what Prabhupada's given to me. So I just got to carry on. And we should see it like that, whatever our service is. At least, you know, if you have a serious service, if you're just one of these devotees who just comes in on Sunday and says, oh, can I help out in this way or that? Well, that's not bad. It's nice. It's better than just coming in at the end of the Sunday program for prasadam. You know, the devotees who come in during the arati while the peacock fan is being offered, the fan, we call them Krishna's fan club. Yeah. But anyway, rather than just come in and, oh, well, can I help out? And do you need some help here or there? If you have some serious service, like, you know, regular service, meaningful service, which is your responsibility, then you should really take it that Prabhupada wants me to do this, Krishna wants me to do this,
In one letter, Srila Prabhupada says that if the authorized authority, like the temple president, asks you to do something, you should take it that Krishna wants you to do that. Pity Prabhu, Prabhu's not here, I tell you. I'd be in his good box. But actually, Prabhupada says that. And yeah, even though we're not very special, we're just, you know, sort of struggling along, basically. But still, Krishna is involved with us. Krishna knows us. And Krishna has a plan for each of us. And Krishna has some service he wants us to do. And when we get that service, like really authorized service, then we should really try and take it as our mission. Krishna wants me. Krishna personally decided he wants me to do this. And Prabhupada wants me to do this. And in this way we can really feel the connection with Prabhupada and with Krishna. Because it's true. So I felt like that. Plus, you know, really, I feel that ISKCON here in South Africa is really nice. And, you know, I'm not here much of the time, as you know, but, and I get around, I really get around too much. But our yatras here in South Africa compared to so many other places I go, they're really nice. They're really, really nice. So I feel happy here. Yeah. With your association and under the shelter of His Holiness Parthasarathy Maharaj. And if ever I sort of break down crying because it's too much, I know I can give Him a call. And He will pacify me. Yeah. But I joined Prabhupada's movement. It was the 7th of January, 1973. In a few days it will be 41 years. And as I remember, Parthasarathy Maharaj was already staying in the temple. I know he has this routine of saying he joined after with me, but, you know, of course I can't exactly remember, but I think it was like that. And we would go out distributing books. Yeah, and he was a really good book distributor. And then the temple opened, yeah, the temple opened. During the temple construction, Radharatnath temple construction, the tin campaign stopped for what? Maybe like four years or something along those lines. And then the temple opened in 85, but the tin campaign had not started again yet. But Parthasarathy Maharaj, he would go out into central Durban, at least on Saturdays, to distribute books. And he told me, at least I'm doing some preaching, something of some use. It was really nice. And then he started the tent campaign again, with what you might call a motley crew. Motley crew means, you know, a very doubtful group of doubtful personalities. And it was basically a one-man show. But he was so dedicated, and he was just pushing the preaching, even though he didn't have a proper team at all. But he was pushing the preaching. You know, that sort of stability of having very senior people who are deeply committed, that gives stability and solidarity to Prabhupada's movement. Hare Krishna. Abhi, Abhi, Sare Mo Bhaje, Hey. Hamara Hari Nam Das Bhaje. Yeah. So, what to do? Ardha Ganta, hey? Can I sing Prabhupada's favorite Hare Krishna chant? The first problem is, I can't sing. And the second problem is, I don't really know what it is. But you know what? We're going to go out on Harinam in half an hour or so. And I'm going to have to try to lead the Harinam for a while. I think it would be good if Parthasarathy Maharaj could maybe lead some kirtan or bhajan for a little while. What do you think?
If you order me.
It's a humble plea to a divine lotus feet.
Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Punjabi Adi Jaya
Bonachara, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
association in the language. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Srila Gopala Ki Prem Srila Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Srila Advaita Gadadhara Srila Sadhana Vanda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopina Shyamaka Radha Kundi Govardhana Ki Sri Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Sri Ramavil Mayapur Dhamma Ki Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Gangamaya Ki Jai Jamunamaya Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai ISKCON South Africa Yatra Ki Jagannath Subhadra Balarama Ki Sri Radha Radhananda Ki Sri Nidai Gaura Hari Ki Dau Premanandi All glories to seven devotees. All glories to some devotees. All glories to Shri Guru.